Welcome to Live Life Better. I'm your host, Annette Weiser, and with me today is Kelly Moser, and he is going to help us live life better with his book and his interesting conversation about Move Your Butt. So I'm going to start about what does butt stand for?
Yeah, so everyone, a personal story to me, this is where this came from. So I was always the guy in the office where you would knock on my door and say, hey, Kelly, have you got a minute? And that usually meant you were going to talk trash about your wife or a colleague or something like that. And so I was like the office life coach, even before I even knew what that meant. And so one guy said, hey, Kelly, why don't you charge me for this? I'm in here every week. And again, I had no idea what he was talking about. So that's kind of my genesis into personal development. So I'm at one of these conferences, you know, the type where you're outside the big stage getting ready to go in and everybody's kind of chit-chatting and whatever. And I felt really out of place. And so I found myself vomiting my life story to a gentleman standing beside of me. And it was coming out in a way that was like, I got these big visions, a grander for my life, but... And then I would give him an excuse, and then I want deeper relationships, but, and then I would give him some kind of negative self-talk, and he let me just stand there and give him my whole life story, and then finally he leaned in and he said, hey, Kelly, what do you think you should do? And before my internal filter could kick in, I just blurted out, I guess I need to move my butt. And his eyes got big, and my eyes got big, and we had that, like, epiphany moment in real time.
Dun, dun, dun.
And the doors open, and if this was a cheesy Hallmark movie, this was the angel moment, because I don't know who he is, I don't know where he went, the doors opened, everybody goes into the conference, and I'm standing there with my head on fire, buying the domain, writing down, what move your butt, what does that mean, this, that, and the other, and this, that's kind of the genesis of how this thing started, but... You know, to kind of put it in a short blurb, if you will, Move Your Butt is about everybody has this goal that they want to do, whatever that may look like, whatever your definition of success is. And then you've got a voice that says, yeah, but, and talks you out of it. I want to be a better husband, father, sister, brother, business person, healthier, whatever that thing is. And then there's that voice, but I don't have time, but who am I, but, and you just fill those butts in. So the book is really how leaders move their butts. So.
And it's a no-nonsense guide for emerging leaders to get unstuck and accelerate. So what does BUT? Because I just think it's so clever that you created an acronym. Tell us what BUT, B-U-T, stands for.
Yeah, B-U-T, not two T's. If you move the one with one T, you'll move the one with two T's.
That's right. It's BUT.
Yeah. So, and we turned BUT, or I turned BUT into an acronym. So it's blueprint. That's what the B stands for. That's really where you define success, because I think in order for you to get somewhere, you got to know kind of where you want to go. Then the U is uncover. That's uncover the philosophy and the belief systems and some of the softer stuff, but also the skill acquisition. So we got to understand what kind of skills that we need. And the T is taking action, because all the philosophical mumbo jumbo isn't worth anything unless you actually do something with it.
You say something on your website that I think is so important. Your team isn't the problem, you are. You've got the title, the talent, and the track record. So why does it still feel like you're driving with the parking brake on? And the answer isn't more hustle, it's moving your butt. And that's the Cinderella syndrome too. And let's talk a little bit about some of the tips that you give people, both in your as a speaker, as a coach, and in this book. So take it away. Share with us.
Yeah. So the reason I put that, one, it's pointed, so it kind of hits you between the eyes. I come from a place that everything is a leadership problem. And I know that may not go over very well with some leaders, especially the ones with the big egos. But if your team is not performing like you want them to, that's a you problem. It's not a them problem. And oftentimes we're like, oh, they're just a toxic person. Well, you hired them, Jack. Like, what? You got to take that ownership. And so I think the very first thing with leaders that they need to do is take that responsibility. It's me. It's on me. That's why I've been graced this leadership position. Until you get there, you can't go to, okay, take control. What does control mean? What can you control? What can't you control? not taxes, not weather, not government, not terrible drivers. What can you control? And then you can take the action. And so, yeah, that's kind of the framework. That's how I like to start with my leaders.
Absolutely. In the book, you give a lot of tips. Share some of the tips. The Emerging Leaders Toolkit. I love this. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so each chapter is going to give you a little bit of a story. Now, the reason it's a no-nonsense is I'm not the sunshine and rainbows fluff tell you a whole dissertation. I am by nature, but that doesn't make for a very good business book because you need to be quick, punchy, give them the action item. So each one of the chapters goes to the toolkit. So that's going to take you to the website. It's going to give you a little bit deeper dive and give you some action items to take as a leader. So one of the ones that I love the most is that circle of control. And this is not original to me, but it is kind of the way that we lay it out in the book. You complain or you swear up into the heavens about all the things that you can't control. And then until you go, okay, I should have left on time. It's not the traffic's problem. It's I should have left on time. Are your kids being a turkey? What, did you feed them full of sugar? Did you get the bedtime on time? Did you do all those things? So again, it's about that ownership. I'm really big on taking that ownership before you can take that control.
Well, you've been doing this for 10 years and you've had lots of inspiration. Some of that inspiration is seen in this book, Zig Ziglar. You cannot hit a target you cannot see, and you cannot see a target you do not have. Talk to me about some of the people that inspired you. And then I want to go a little bit further back to your journey and talk about how you moved your butt.
Yeah. So the Zig Ziglar, I would say one of the biggest mentors, even though I never got to meet him, was Jim Rohn. You'll see and hear a lot of that language. We have similar backgrounds. I'm actually from Mayberry. So if you know the Andy Griffith Show, that's my hometown. It's called Mount Airy, North Carolina.
Wow.
Small town. You know, the definition of success there, and this isn't good or bad, but the definition of success is go to school, get married, buy a house, contribute to a 401k, get a good job and climb the corporate ladder and die. Like, that's it. That's the through line for most people. Well, in my own personal journey, I got into a company as a sanitation worker, cleaning the floors, cleaning the machines, taking out the trash, doing all the, you know, knee deep in all that stuff, and climbed the corporate ladder. I went from the floor to the supervisor in 2 weeks. I told my manager I was going to take his job, kind of, we were joking, but then 2 months later I did, and then climbed all the way to the top of my ladder in that industry. I was director of food safety and quality when I left my corporate world.
What skills did you have, for those listening, that got you to the top as you climbed that ladder? What would you say were key skills that you use and that you learned along the way?
If your employees have not seen you with muddy boots, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. And your muddy boot can be whatever. If you're a finance guy, fine. It may not be literal mud, but you need to get into the trenches with your people, and they need to understand that you're not going to set up on the hill and say charge. You're going to get in there with them and bleed and sweat and get dirty with them. That if you cannot do that as a leader, that's what we would say in North Carolina, a long road hoe.
You know, I just think that it is very interesting. When I met you at the chamber, you stood out in the crowd. You were talking with Charlie Justice, and I knew you had something to share and something to tell. Talk to me a little bit about how the chamber and the networking and what you do there really fits into your philosophy and your mission statement.
Yeah, getting in the rooms with people. You know, when you first get into sales, you think it's like, knock, 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 here's my product, want to buy it? Knock, 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 here's my product, want to buy it? And then as you start to, I guess it has to do with more candles on your cake, you know, when you start to get a little more seasoned, you start to realize that it's the relationships. And so for me, I was like, okay, where do I want my people? Where are my people? Where can I get in the rooms with people? And got into the chamber. I've been a member of the Tampa Bay Beaches Chamber for 8 years, something like that. And now I'm on the executive board there because I see the value and I see the caliber of people. And I just, those are the rooms that I want to be in.
And Charlie Justice, who is a regular Beach Brief with us, will be here today. And he is a leader that you want to be in the room with. What do you do if you get to the top and you're stalled?
what do you do if you get to the top and you're stalled? That's what happened to me. I got to the top and I said, wait a minute. I did all the things that you said I was supposed to do. And here I am at the top. And I don't feel fulfilled and I don't feel happy. And I got a big paycheck and I got a big team and I got a big title and I get to travel the world. And I don't mean to sound like a arrogant, ungrateful, you know what. But at the same time, I got there and it wasn't what I thought it was, or it wasn't the what I had been sold. And so I had to take that spiritual awakening to give it a, you know, to give it a language there, take a step back and like, what is it that I want to do? And I'm a person of faith, so that played a big role in it as well. But if you're not where you want to be, it goes right back to that first, that be in the but framework. It's you have to decide what success looks like.
So I love something that you said to me, which is the lesson is what usually helps people, holds people back, isn't talent. It's the stories they tell themselves. And I've just recently had experience that this rings true to me. Tell people, share with the listeners what this lesson is.
That's really hard for me to articulate because it would be easy for me to give you a bromide or a platitude that's like, everything is perspective. Well, when your tire is flat and it's raining, that sucks. But, you know, enough time passes and you're like, well, maybe that saved me from getting in the car wreck or whatever it is. And I think if you have the ability to kind of step back, take that time out for a minute and go, all right. Because sitting there in the rain, muddy, changing a flat tire is terrible. And I'm not suggesting that you're like, oh, everything happens for a reason, you know, because that's old and that's not going to help
you. Yeah, that positivity, no. You know, that's just too much positivity for me. But there is I love this because, you know, for me, a story I tell myself is that I love to write. No, I don't love to write anymore. I love to listen to people tell their stories. Mm. That's where my joy comes. So I think this is a really key thing. And then the other thing is, what is the work now? What is the work you need to do to get unstuck? Share some tips with people besides have you as a coach.
Yeah, right. So read the book and do the toolkit. But I think if you follow that but framework, if you define what success looks like, and not just success doesn't mean dollars and cents in your bank account. I want you to look at your life as a whole. What does you as a good father look like? What does you as a businessman look like? What does you as a healthier version look like? And if people don't do this, and I know we've heard this, and I know this is not something unique. I'm not inventing fire over here. But I do think you need to give yourself permission to sit with that and jot a few things down. And then say, okay, well, what's important to me right now in this season of life? Not 20 years down the road. Dear God, you're not...
You can't anticipate that. No, you cannot anticipate that.
We make plans and God laughs. Like, the hurricane put 2 feet of water in the house. That wasn't on my bingo card. You know, like, so make some plans, but so you have that guiding light and first principles. But
folks, if you've just joined us on Live Life Better, we're talking to an incredible local but nationally known person, Move Your Butt, Kelly Moser. His book, he is a speaker, he is a coach, he's a member of the chamber and actually on the executive board. And we're talking about how emerging leaders and anybody, entrepreneurs, parents, can get unstuck and accelerate. I want to talk about what it is, you know, how to ask the right question, how to find the right answer. You have a section in the book that you say, what is my next right action? So here's my problem. I'm buried in debt. How do I approach that? Walk our listeners through that.
The problem is I'm buried in debt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That famous question is, what is my next right action? And I don't want you to think about at level 10. If you're at level 3 now, or if you're at negative 3 now, your goal is to get to one step above that. And what is it? Maybe it's print out your bank statements and see where money is coming and going. And do you need 4 subscriptions to all the things? That could be a first step. And I think too many
baby
times.
Baby steps.
One step. How would you do 100 push-ups? You would do with the first one first. You can't do 100 push-ups and start with 100.
Well,
you have to start with one. So that's kind of where I walk people. And again, I know this isn't, you know, this isn't inventing fire. Everyone kind of knows this, but you know, where I bridge the gap between knowledge and action, I think that's the power of a coach and having an accountability partner, whether it's me or somebody else. Like, get somebody in your life that can hold you accountable.
You wrote the book and you have an audio book. Why did you write the book? It's hard work to write a book. And this is an excellent book. I can't wait. This is going to be my weekend reading. Thank you very much. But tell me a little bit about why this book mattered. And I know, you know, people will say marketing with a book, but this is more than marketing with a book.
Yeah.
Share with me how long it took you and why.
Yeah, I've started writing this book 10 years ago in journals, just writing down stories and things like that. And then after you've had the conversation 10,000 times, you're like, well, I should probably write this down so I can just move people to the book. Yes, I use it as a marketing funnel. But really, the reason I do this, I got a text message from somebody 2 days ago with this book sitting on their lap when they're in the airplane. And the text was, hey, I'm taking you to Puerto Rico with me. And then they'll give me, I tried that thing and it worked. Like, that's a drug that it's hard to replicate, and I'll take all of it. It's really, really cool to see that somebody... Now, there is that imposter syndrome. There is that dumb hillbilly from Mayberry voice in my head that says, who are you to write a book? And like, why would anyone listen to you? But then when you get somebody that's like, I tried that, and it worked, and my life is better for it, oh, man, I'll take that. I'll take that all day long.
How can people follow you on social and on your website?
Yeah, so go to kellymoser.com. That has all the links, all the things. Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Kelly Moser. You'll find me.
And now YouTube, because we're gonna post the
video.
We're gonna get you the video, because I'm wondering, you know, what is your, I don't want to say bucket list, because you're just moving forward in after 10 years doing even more. What is it that you want to do next with this whole public speaking, coaching, website, and really changing people's lives?
I'm going to throw you a curveball that wasn't on your bingo card. One of the scariest and weirdest things that came out of writing this book was I have a kid's book, a kid's version coming out.
That's great.
The first one's called, a little teaser here. You're hearing it here first.
Exclusive to Radio
CAP. Exclusive, right? It's called Move Your Butt, Eddie. So Eddie is a little boy, and him and his mom are headed to the park. And he gets to the park, and he sees some new kids. And his butt is, but what if they don't like me? And it walks you through how this little boy overcomes his fear. It's okay to be afraid and take a step. And then you get to the playground, he has a good time. Spoiler alert, he has a good time at the end. But you see that there are a lot of areas where this could be advantageous for kids to...
But I can't do well in school, but I can't make friends, but I can't run as fast.
Yeah, the second one's called Move Your Butt Maya, and she's self-conscious about her dirty shoes. But what if they make fun of my shoes? And it's... These are stories.
Oh, Dolly Parton smiling at you in heaven.
Oh,
I swear to
Dolly,
God.
Who is going to take God, the place of this national,
you know,
treasure?
No. You know, Dolly used to say, give your dreams wings.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing. Yeah. It's just wonderful. Is some of this, you're a father.
Yeah.
On top of everything, as a very proud father, 5-year-old son.
Yes.
Does some of this desire to... make children's lives better come from firsthand experience?
Most certainly. Yeah. I want to give him the world, but I also want him to work for it, if that makes sense.
That's Andy Griffith.
Yeah, right.
Can't help but say that. It's a Mayberry.
Yeah, well, you're plugging the whistle tune now. But, you know, I want him to struggle, and I want him to overcome things, because that's the only way that we learn. Like, pain is a information-rich data source. Right, you stub your toe on the bed at night. Guess what you learn?
Yeah.
The corner of the bed's there, right?
Walk another way.
When you have the pain of social anxiety, or the pain of growing a business, or the pain of deepening your relationship with your significant other, there's pain there. But that's a good thing. And I hope this book and what I put out into the world helps people with that framework, that recipe, that being able to take that next right action.
Well, folks, we will be talking again with Kelly, because we're going to encourage him to have a regular podcast once a month with Radio St. Pete.
Okay.
We'll be at the Tampa Beaches Chamber in October, November, December. Kelly, will you join us and bring this to life and amplify your
absolutely
message?
Absolutely.
That is wonderful. What will you like to leave your audience with today, our listeners? What bon mot do you have to share?
No matter where you are, in whatever season of life you find yourself, in the skin that you are in right now, you're enough. You're enough for that definition of success, however you define it. And I hope you take your first step towards it and move your butt.
The parking brake is on. This book takes it off. Kelly Moser, thank you so much for
thank
being
you so
with
much.
Us. For Radio St. Pete, Lunchtime Conversations, Live Life Better. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. Move your butt.
Yeah.